Hi, welcome to my podcast. I'm Dr. Lauren Goodall. I am a clinical psychologist, and this is Psychology in Short. Before we start out this podcast, I'm going to give a shout out to my sponsor, which is MD365Access.com. And what this is a teledoc service. It is where you have access to board-certified doctors from the comfort of your own living room. For a monthly fee, it will cover you and your dependents, and it takes the wait out of the waiting room. So if you have interest, please look at my website at drlaurengoodall.com. Today's topic is the power of faith, the power of God, and the power of spirituality. And I am going to start with some of the medical research, and then we'll go to more of the applied. So, according to the International Consensus Conference on Spiritual Care in Healthcare, what that means is research done on providing spiritual care in the course of doing healthcare. That could be having clergy visit, supportive faith-based visiting and interacting with a patient. And this article defines spirituality as, quote, is the way individuals seek ultimate meaning, purpose, connection, value, or transcendence. Okay, so spirituality is that whole concept of feeling connected to something else much bigger than ourselves. And not only are we connected, but we feel meaning and we feel purpose and we feel value. So the concept of faith, the concept of spirituality, and the concept of God is a way in which we connect to a higher space, a higher form of healing. And so one of the ways they talk about this in the article is organized religion. And what is organized religion? Organized religion is when you attend services or have a definitive faith pattern. But it's also spiritual aspects, which means meaning through connecting with family and community, okay? So a sense of group community and this article talks about spiritual connection and participation. So that is how they defined spirituality in this article. And this article, among many others that I have found, is basically health, mental wellness, and physical health is linked most positively with a sense of a higher power and a sense of spirituality. Neuroscience News, in an article June 12, 2022, says spirituality is linked with better health outcomes. Period. End of story. Harvard Medical School, and the article is called Spirituality and Health, May 14th, 2021. Quote, spirituality is associated with increased quality of life. And the article also says that spirituality was an independent predictor of better quality of life and emotional well-being. So this is basically saying not only is it giving you a better quality of life, but better emotional well-being or better emotional restoration. And this article also looked at 70%, and this was in cancer patients, 70% of participants reported that religion and spirituality helped them through their cancer experience. Okay, they didn't say it was prohibitive, they said it was helpful. And another multi-study of HIV and AIDS patients, 80% found comfort by their spirituality. So these are some powerful statistics in these different medical studies. And there is another article I want to look at, and it is by Eileen McDonald on August 14, 2015, by Fierce Healthcare, and the article is How Spirituality and Religion Impact Patient Outcomes. And her findings were, quote, patients who report greater overall religiousness and spirituality also report better physical health, greater ability to perform their usual tasks, and fewer physical symptoms of cancer and treatment. So again, this was looking at some cancer patients. And, quote, emotional aspects of religion and spirituality were also more strongly associated with positive mental health. Okay. So positive mental health associated with the emotional aspects of religion and spirituality, rather than behavioral or cognitive aspects of religion. And what does that mean? That means, okay, so the cognitive aspects of religion are kind of the intellectual do's and don'ts, and or the comprehension of the religion and the basis of the religion. And then there's the behavioral aspects of religion, as meaning, do you follow these guidelines? But it was the emotional aspects of religion and spirituality that was most strongly associated with positive mental health. So that's not really a surprise. I think anything that links in with more of the emotional database is going to score higher, from my experience. And the same article by Eileen McDonald is, quote, greater levels of spiritual distress and a sense of disconnectedness with God or a religious community was associated with psychological distress and poor emotional well-being. So if you take that whole faith dynamic out, you take the whole God dynamic out, the patients experienced more spiritual distress and less and poor psychological outcomes and poor emotional outcomes. So patients with a positive sense of God or that God can be called upon for assistance report better social health. Okay, so those are some of the medical articles that I thought were pretty relevant to this topic. And I thought, what better application of this entire concept than Alcoholics Anonymous, okay? There was this fella, Bill D., in 1939, who was what I would call a profound and amazing alcoholic. Profound is that he was just devastated by alcoholism to such a degree that apparently he was barely functional. But he was amazing in the sense of what he was able to do along with this fella, Dr. Bob, out of Ohio. They came up with spiritual principles and basic guidelines called the 12 Steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. And what these 12 steps are is the first step is believing in a sense of powerlessness, that you, yourself, by yourself, cannot restore yourself. It is your connection to God or a higher being that can only restore you due to the level of devastation, addiction you are facing, etc. They didn't say that, but it is the connection with a higher power that the person surrenders to. So that sense of powerlessness is involved in this, but also that connection to the faith base, the higher power, God. And also a sense of saying that you are going nowhere with something, okay? Like you are not making any positive gains physically, mentally. You just can't get away from this thing, whatever this thing is, okay? I like the AA model because I don't think it's just for Alcoholics Anonymous. I think it applies to so many different things, any form of addiction, and pretty much anything, okay? There are some things that you yourself feel that is so beyond your ability to reach for so many different reasons. So getting back to this model of when something's got you, as in really has you, your sense of powerlessness about making the change, about being able to get healed, that a sense, a connection with a higher power will establish that. And they also talk about different aspects like being honest with yourself and pulling out of denial. And these are just some basic concepts. And I'm just covering them in a very rudimentary way because I think they're valuable and have basically, I mean, you want to talk about a powerful testimonial. This group, this concept, this program was established in 1939, and still has so much staying power. And it was established with Bill W. and Dr. Bob, and they brought 100 men who were what I would call painful alcoholics, okay, where their functioning was just so disturbed, if not destroyed, using these basic higher power principles and other integrity principles like humility, surrender, forgiveness, and making amends with other people for the destruction that we as humans cause when we are impaired or don't make great decisions, okay? And also an aspect of service. So it's really based on a higher power and an integrity model. And they got 100 fellas sober, and these were not average alcoholics, I am sure. So I think they would, if anything, they would have been on the upper skew of heavy, heavy alcoholism. But it worked. That's the bottom line. And this book, the big book it's referred to, has sold over 30 million copies. That says something. That says something profound. Okay, so this is faith in action. Okay, this is an example of faith in action. So, with that, I'm going to show that is one aspect of faith in action where people are getting healed. People are connecting to something higher and relating to something higher and using faith and spirituality to do it. And they're getting results, okay? And so much so that obviously there are Alcoholics Anonymous groups just about everywhere. Anywhere you can find on the globe, you will find them. So clearly a very respected program. The next piece I want to talk about is an author. His name is Squire Rushnell. He wrote a series of books called God Winks. And what are God Winks? God Winks are a series of coincidences that happen in a person's life that really make a person wonder, is this really a coincidence? What are the odds? It's almost statistically impossible to happen. You need that great break, and all of a sudden, you are seated next to the right person on the plane, and you start up a conversation, and it just so happens that that person carries a very important link to what you've been needing for a long time. Okay, so God Winks are a series of coincidences and confirmations, okay, that people link with the higher power or God, essentially God, okay? And it is God's ability to kind of throw you in some pieces and arrange some pieces along your path to help you get to where you need to go. This series of books has done amazingly well as well. And I think they've sold over 1.5 million, if I can read my own writing, but books in print. So this book just keeps on giving. I think there's Netflix series on it. Because it is so powerful. Some people say, oh, coincidence, coincidence, coincidence. Other people say, God wink, God wink, God wink. Okay. So with that, I'm a person that calls it a God wink. Okay. A connection to God. And I talk about this a bit in my book, Bipolar is Not an STD. I'm sure God really loves the title of that book. But aside from that, I talk about, in the book, I bring up some different pieces in my own life. And I'll give you an example of a God wink that I experienced that was pretty profound. And in my case, the God wink happened at a really, really rugged part of my life. My father had been battling addiction for many, many years, and he just died, and he died suddenly. I was pretty young, and the sudden part was the devastating part. And I think a piece that was particularly rough is that people in that particular space, my father was a strong emotional support. And people assume that a person with an addiction isn't the emotional support or lacks the emotional support. And that couldn't be further from the truth. So there were a lot of myths that I was living at that time. You know, people with addiction don't pay their bills. No, my father carried the bills, as many do. There are lots of people who battle addiction, and it's kind of the concept is just, hey, you know, you're dysfunctional, so that means you don't pay your bills, you don't have regard. It's just wrong. But anyhow, it's been a long minute since his passing, but as I said, I was particularly, I think devastated would be probably even an understatement, okay? And as I was going through that, I looked pretty rugged. And he just passed, and I was pretty scrawny, to say the least. Didn't know what I was going to do in a general venue. I was pretty lost. And something like, and I had just started graduate school when this happened. And I was a person who walked around with a lot of athletic wear. I think, you know, they say, generally they say dress for your success. Well, that was not me, okay? I was the queen of leggings and sweatshirts and high tops, okay? That was it. That was the go-to. And amazingly, you know, I did well in the programming despite my lack of dress for success. However, I would not recommend that approach, but you know, that was who I was, and I really wasn't about to change that. So anyhow, so here I am, and I realize that I need to get a dress, and I'm kind of overwhelmed at the concept, only because I'm pretty scrawny, nothing fits, I'm short, and, or as I call it, understated. There's short people and there's understated people. I definitely fall into the understated category. But I was pretty feeling pretty overwhelmed. And I said, I remember saying, okay, now I've got to get this dress. I live in like athletic wear. And you know, how am I going to get fitted? Stuff's either going to hang on me. It's not going to look good. So I just said, dear God, I cannot do this. I do not know how to do this. And I was just crying, and I just had some eyeliner on, and it would just smear up my sweatshirt. I didn't care. I just didn't care. I just had a white sweatshirt with black lines on it for my eye makeup. So I go to this store, and I'm walking, and I'm just still crying in the parking lot because I don't know how to go. Yeah, I don't know how to go from the parking lot into the store. And as soon as I got, and you can see it's still pretty powerful, and it's been a long minute. But I walked through the door, and there was this woman who was right there. And you know when there's salespeople, and they'll ask you, what have you? Well, I must have made quite the presentation. Black eyeliner down my face, white sweatshirt, black streaks. And this woman came up to me, and I explained to her, I said, my dad just died, and I do not know how to do this. And that's all I had to say. And I need a dress, and I mean, within minutes, I didn't just have a dress, I had a custom dress. I mean, nothing could have fit me more perfectly. And as I said, I wasn't an easy fit. I was super scrawny and short, not an easy combination. And so she listened to me for a few minutes, just saying, I don't know how to do this stuff. And so that was great. And she could have easily passed me off to somebody else because I presented in a way that looked pretty rough, but she didn't. And I felt as I left the store like she was put there. And they say there are angels that walk among us. And I thought, my gosh, this woman might as well have been an angel, because she was exactly what I needed. She knew what I needed. And it was like she got an assignment at a dress store. So that's what I call a God wink. When you are in a rough space, you reach out, you reach up and ask God and say, I don't know how to do this. And there it is, what you need, with the right person to assist you. So that's an example. That's a personal example. And I talk about some of that stuff in my book, as I said. But certainly I'm not alone. I'm sure many of you have experienced God winks in your life. But what I find is the main requirement is you have to reach out, you have to reach up and ask. You know, that is the requirement. And I think you may be amazed at what you see. So tying all this back in together is there is a power of faith. There is a power of God in healing. It's been proven medically. It's been shown emotionally. And in terms of people's social connection and well-being, people are living longer, more productive lives with it as opposed to without it. So this is a powerful concept in any type of healing. All right, I'm going to close this up for today, and I would just like to say thank you for joining me. It's always a pleasure to be able to present these concepts, and I'm grateful for you. Thank you.